Father God, we do thank you that you are our comfort, that you, while we do have suffering in this world, while we do have challenges, we do have the things that you've placed in our paths, you are sufficient for us, Lord, and that you do give us hope and give us joy and give us comfort. Lord, we thank you for everything that you provide, and we pray that you would also provide us with a mind to be ready to receive the things that you give to us today. Lord, help us to, in everything, give thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in his name we pray. So I thought that with that scripture reading, it would be a good song to sing for comfort. So if everyone wants to sing.
Comfort ye my people, singing peace, thus saith our God. Comfort those who sit in darkness, mourning neath their sorrows low. Speak ye to Jerusalem of the peace that waits for them. Tell her that her sins are covered, and her warfare now is over. Yea, her sins are God the pardon, blotting out each dark misdeed. All that dwell deserves his anger, he will no more see nor heed. She has suffered many a day, while her griefs have passed away. God will change her pining sadness into ever-springing gladness. Hark the herald's voices crying in the desert far and near, leading all men to repentance, since the kingdom now is near. Oh, that warning cry obey, now prepare for God away. Let the valleys rise to meet us, and the hills bow down to greet him. May each street where conquers crooked, make the rough with places plain. Let your hearts be true and humble, as befits his holy reign, for the glory of the Lord, for the earth is shed abroad, and the flesh shall see the token that his word is never broken.
Right, you may be seated. So, if you remember, so this is our fourth Sunday, our fourth lecture, whatever series into Marxism, and the title of the series was "Opiate of the Masses: Marxism and Christianity," and today we finally get to read where that phrase comes from, "Opiate of the Masses." So the last time we had dealt with materialism, so that the matter on is what forms the ideas. Today we get to what I think Marx would consider like the arch idea or the arch overriding idea that undergirds everything else. So let's start. For Germany, the criticism of religion has been essentially completed, and the criticism of religion is the prerequisite of all criticism. Criticism there is a kind of a philosophic word. It's just It doesn't necessarily mean what we mean by criticism. It's not speaking poorly of things, although usually that's the way that he's going to be using it. It's more like just seeing what the scope of this idea is, or like what its merits are, what its demerits are. So that's what criticism really means. But in a weird way, he's actually right. So he says that the criticism of religion is the prerequisite of all criticism. And that means that, in his view at least, Christianity or religion is the basis for the West. You know, even if the West wouldn't say it. He would say, like, if communists want to tear down Western morality, Western reason, Western law, Western civilization, they should be forced to deal with Christianity first. I think we would kind of agree with that. Like, that's their, like for the rest of these lectures, we're going to say, if there is a kernel of truth, what's that kernel of truth? And how does that help us to explain what's going on in our world? And that, I would say, is a kernel of truth that he has there. And same thing with this next sentence. The profane existence of error is compromised as soon as its heavenly or oratio pro aris et focus. I don't know. That's some phrase in Latin that it's apparently very famous. But that just is talking about Christianity. So the profane existence of error is compromised as soon as religion has been refuted. And what's another way of saying that? So another way of saying that is that once religion is destroyed, once it's compromised, the rest of society will come crashing down. Again, I think that he's right about that. Now, he's not saying that as a good, you know, he's saying that that's a good thing. We're saying that's a bad thing, but at least he got the idea right. That is, as soon as you criticize religion, as soon as you get rid of religion, the rest of Christendom comes crumbling down. Man, who has only found the reflection of himself in the fantastic reality of heaven, where he sought to Superman, will no longer feel disposed to find the mere appearance of himself, the non-man, where he seeks and must seek his true reality. So what is that actually saying? So that man, you know, in looking for religion, he only found himself. That again, he's saying that material reality makes ideas. So that man finds himself in religion because that's what he put there. But that when he sees that it's himself, he's not going to want to he's not going to want to follow the religion anymore. And once again, I think that I would say that there's some grain of truth in that. That once religion is based on our values or our interests or our politics, or, you know, once it's based on that, people do tend to lose interest in the religion. You know, see all the liberal denominations out there. They're you know, much more quickly losing people than the conservative denominations, because the more liberal denominations have made it so that our interests are what, you know, our politics is what we put on God, as opposed to seeing what God says about things and saying, well, our politics should probably match that. But I think, you know, that being said, we also need to watch out and make sure that we don't pigeonhole God as being just like us in our politics. You know, God's not a Republican. He ends history with a totalitarian monarchy. Like, you know, there's differences there, and we have to be cognizant of that and let God be God and not let God be us. Again, this is participatory. Anybody have any thoughts about any of that to start out with? The foundation of irreligious criticism is man makes religion. Religion does not make man. And once again, I would say that's true, that's the foundation of all irreligious criticism. But the foundation of what he's going to say, or the foundation of saying that you know, of the case against Christianity is Christianity must be false, therefore let's try to find a way that Christianity is false. The foundation is man makes religion, religion does not make man. That's just a statement that he says. And he's saying that it's true, doesn't give any proof that it's true, but that's the foundation of the rest of what's going to come, that Christianity is false, therefore we have to tear down Christianity. You know, just like in a lot of the debates, or, you know, talking about miracles. Well, we know the miracles couldn't happen. Well, how do we know miracles couldn't happen? Well, because there's no miracles. But that's what we're debating about. We're debating about the miracle. You know, so it's there is a very begging the question or circular reasoning to saying that the foundation of the criticism is that we know that man makes religion, and therefore we're going to use the criticism to prove that man makes the religion, which we've already assumed. Religion is indeed the self-consciousness and self-esteem of man who has either not yet won through to himself or has already lost himself again. So in here we see that liberal impulse that, that's sort of explanatory to me, that they see that if you're under God, if you're under religion, if you're under that, that you're not yet fully liberated. You haven't bucked yourself up by the bootstraps. You haven't gotten the power to defy God yet. And that's sort of the whisper of the serpent in the garden. You will be like God, knowing good and evil, as soon as you bite from the apple. It's just, that's something to think about. They would consider it like a positive feat of strength to throw off God and religion. Getting rid of like the fetters. And that's the prerequisite to winning yourself. Engaging in like free, manly self-direction. And we would say, no, that's the way that you fall. That's the way that you go into sin, is by throwing off those fetters, which are really just kind of guideposts to living the fulfilled, happy, good life. But man is no abstract being squatting outside the world. Man is the world of man, state, society. So you see, man is no abstract being. So in Marxism and leftism in general, there's no like independent human nature. There's nothing that makes man man. Like it's something that he's infinitely malleable. If he chooses, he can be whatever he wants to be, or can be a she if she wants to be. It's shaped by the state, shaped by society. There's no underlying thing that mankind will always be. There's no original sin. We would put it that way. And that's why that explains some of the things that they try that never, ever, ever work. Because they think that if you put man in a perfect, like a perfect environment, that man will be perfect. That you can perfect man through his environment, which never seems to work and never will work. So this state and this society produce religion, which is an inverted consciousness of the world, because they are an inverted world. Religion is the general theory of this world, its encyclopedic compendium, its logic in popular form, its spiritual point of honor, its enthusiasm, its moral sanction, its solemn complement, and its universal basis for consolation and justification. And to that, I would say, amen. I mean, it's all true. Like, it's religion is the general theory of this world. It's how the world works. God makes, God shows us how this world actually works. It's encyclopedic compendium. I mean, maybe not all truth is revealed in Scripture, but all of Scripture is true, and it helps us to know the other things that are true as well. It's logic in popular form. Yeah, I mean, the logic of the world is shown in Christianity, is shown in religion. It's spiritual point of honor. It's enthusiasm, it's moral sanction. The only reason why we can understand any of the morality in this world is through religion. So, yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. Good job, Marx, you figured it out. He would say it's a bad thing. Yeah. Theology is the discipline that holds, or is supposed to hold, the whole university together, hold all other disciplines together. It's the heart, it's the way that, it's the guiding post that shows all the other disciplines what they're going forward into. And now that theology is out of the university, is out of the colleges, something has to fulfill that, and the humanities have now tried to do that. through Marxism, and we see how well that's leading us right now. So it, religion, is the fantastic realization of the human essence, since the human essence has not acquired any true reality. So another way of saying that, like we fantasize about the ideal heaven because we live on an imperfect earth, filled with everybody else who sins. I'm perfect, but everybody else who sins. The struggle against religion is therefore indirectly the struggle against that world whose spiritual aroma is religion. And I'd say that's explanatory for me. So why do liberals hate Christianity so much? Why do they castigate Christians? Because they believe it's the foundation holding up this terrible system of hate and violence and bigotry and racism and misogyny and all the other phobias. They think that Christianity is at the root of that. And if they get rid of Christianity, the whole lot of it's going to come tumbling down so that they can rebuild their utopia in the ashes that are left. We would say that while Christianity is, they have half of it sort of right. Christianity is at the root of the civilization, and the civilization is corrupt, but it's not the Christianity that's corrupting the civilization. It's the reason why the civilization can exist, and the reason why the civilization has gotten rid of lots of the different the different bad aspects of the Roman civilization, for instance. But it's not because of Christianity that bad things happen. It's because of the sin that bad things happen, and the Christianity is what's keeping the whole thing kind of glued together so that we don't just all become unhinged and start killing each other. Religious suffering is, at one and the same time, the expression of real suffering and a protest against real suffering. Religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of a heartless world, and the soul of soulless conditions. It is the opium of the people, or the opium of the masses. So what that phrase, so the world is saying the world has no comfort in itself. The world is a brutal, terrible place filled with, terrible things. So religion, man creates it in order to bring about comfort. So is there any truth that religion is the only comfort in this fallen world? Well, yeah, there's truth in that. So that's the context of that quote, the opium of the masses. It's that that's the only thing that the people can find to mitigate their suffering. So it's opium, not in the sense of getting high, but like as a salve, as a means to decrease the suffering in this suffering world. So, but that's the problem with starting out saying that you know what the right answer is. Opium, when it's used well, especially back in that day, can lead to healing. It can be helpful. If it's used well, if it's real opium, and if it's really true. But the Marxists assume by definition that this opium, the opium of the masses, the religion, is harmful and false. But they can only assume that because that's by definition what their foundation was. We have or at least we did, we had the comfort song. We had Paul talking about comfort, a million times in that section of scripture that we read. There is something true in that religion is comforting, that there is a fallen world, there's a world of suffering, there's a world that sometimes just doesn't make sense. And religion does speak to that. So it is an opium, but opium can be good. I mean, I would assume. I mean, it's the 1840s in Germany. I don't think there's a whole lot of Eastern spirituality that's going on there. Maybe a little bit, because there was a little bit of New Agey type stuff. But I think he's mainly talking about what he sees all around him. which is Christianity.
Theology was in vogue during his day, and he purposed it. But going back to what you were talking about, with religion being the sciences, that technically was never true. It was theology that was science. Look at all of the older universities; they had theology departments. Only since Marxism. World that theology departments have been by religion. So I think it is pointedly anti-Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me? Yeah. Does Marx ever talk about theology? Using that word?
Not that I haven't read all of Marx, obviously, but not that I know of.
Because religion, and the way the universities use it, because it's communistic, is that when you use the word theology, you're studying God, and the presumption is that God exists. When you're mm-hmm. studying religion, you're studying these inventions of men.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Or
and
how
so
the men are.
The presupposition is that all religions are the invention of men, whereas.
Right.
Presupposition of theology is that God is.
Yeah, sure. Any other thoughts before going on?
Something else that you said to me was that it seems that Marx thinks
yeah. Yep.
Which is opposite.
Yeah, and even when he didn't have original sin, he wasn't perfect.
I think his mirror is a view of self. Been discussed here before about the one you look in a mirror. If you read Calvin and compare him to Marx,
mm-hmm.
Calvin does just the opposite. He talks about man, but he's not so positive as Marx is.
Right. No, that's true. Yeah, Chuck. Yeah, his favorite quote is from Faust, and it's from the lips of Mephistopheles, who's the Satan figure in Faust, and it's something like, "All that exists deserves to perish," and that's like his favorite quote. so yeah, I anybody else? The abolition of religion as the illusory happiness of the people is the demand for their real happiness, which again, only if happiness can be found outside of religion. Otherwise, even if Marx is right, even if he's right that religion is wrong, all he's done is taken the morphine away from like a suffering hospice patient. Like if that's the act, even if he's right that society is wrong, or that religion is wrong, if he takes it away and there's nothing that can actually work to put it in its place, he's done a terrible thing, but he doesn't seem to see that. To call on them to give up their illusions about their condition is to call on them to give up a condition that requires illusions. The criticism of religion is, therefore, in embryo, the criticism of that veil of tears, of which religion is the halo. And again, I would say that this, I want to say this is all begging the question. It could easily be reversed. It could, you know, you could say to call on Marxists to give up their illusions about atheism and the infinite malleability of mankind is to call on them to give up a condition that requires illusions by embracing Christianity. The criticism of Marxism is therefore an embryo. The criticism of that veil of humanistic tears of which the utopian fever dream of Marxism are its halo. So it just depends on who's right. If you, by definition, say that Christianity is wrong, and then, well, you know, then by definition, Christianity is wrong. It's all begging the question that if you get rid of something that's wrong, well, then, yeah, you're going to get something more right. But you had to define that Christianity was wrong first in order to say that the opium that they're using, the comfort that they're using, is a wrong comfort, is a wrong opium. So criticism has plucked the imaginary flowers on the chain, not in order that man shall continue to bear that chain without fantasy or consolation, but so that he shall throw off the chain and pluck the living flower.
Privilege of seeing this last night when you sent it to my wife to make copies of all this.
Yeah.
And that was the sentence that just floored me. Now, I'm just a regular guy, but when I read that, I said, what is this guy smoking? He's talking about flowers, and I said to myself, I didn't know marijuana for recreational use was really available.
No, he would have heroin.
You unpacked this sentence for me because
sure.
I'm looking at this sentence and I'm saying, I'm a regular guy. Man, I'm kind of doing my cheech and chong thing there and I have no idea.
So mankind is chained. He's in bondage. And he's in bondage because of the economic situations, because of the power, because of this world. So he's bound in chains by the world. And in order to relieve his suffering, there's little illusory flowers that he has created, religion. So he tries to make his chains beautiful, and that's how he mitigates his suffering even a little bit.
Okay, and so he said the right thing to do is to pluck those petals off.
So you see how bad things really are, so that he will throw off the chains and throw off the society with its power and its economy and everything that's keeping him chained up.
He wants you to have a bad trip.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah, so Marxists criticize religion not to dishearten people. You know, they're not looking to make things worse. Although that's kind of what they do in the short term, in order so in the long term you'll see how much you're suffering, throw off the chains, have the revolution, and make everything utopian and better. The criticism of religion disillusions man, so that he will think, act, and fashion his reality like a man who has discarded his illusions and regained his senses, so that he will move around himself as his own true sun. Religion is only the illusory sun, which revolves around man as long as he does not revolve around himself. Now that's pretty strong, like revolving around yourself. And whether, what Marx needs is a Copernican revolution. It's not that the sun that we revolve around isn't ourselves, and he's saying that it's not, I mean, he's saying it's not the false society that's out there, which, we would agree with. You shouldn't revolve around the society. Like, society doesn't, that's not the thing that should give us our ideas. But it's also not ourselves. Like, being self-directed isn't necessarily a good thing. And it's usually not a good thing. It is, therefore, the task of history, once the other world of truth has vanished, to establish the truth of this world, It is the immediate task of philosophy, which is in the service of history, to unmask self-estrangement in its unholy forms once the holy form of human self-estrangement has been unmasked. So once religion has been done away with, once religion has been criticized, then we'll be able to see all of the other really bad stuff in this world and criticize it more effectively. Thus, the criticism of heaven turns into the criticism of earth, the criticism of religion into the criticism of law, and the criticism of theology. Oh, there's your theology. Into the criticism of politics. So is that explanatory? Oh, go ahead.
So, I mean, that one sentence there where you have to ask yourself, holy war. Here he is hijacking language, theology, word holy.
Okay.
Where does he come off getting that from?
Yeah.
Are you following me? Yep. He's just hijacked a Christian concept and brought it into his own philosophy. It should not be transportable in his system of belief.
But
it doesn't exist.
Yeah, but you see that all the time in you know, liberals and such. Like, they'll say that we really should all be, you know, getting along and being together because that's the way that, like, nature works. But it's not. Like, that's the way maybe like ant society works, but mammalian societies, if you look around, they don't work like that. There's no worker bee of, you know, a lion. The lion eats the cub of the male that came before him because he wants dominance. Like, that's not the way that nature even works.
So would he say that man is holy?
I don't think he would use the word holy. Man is definitely different. Yeah.
I'm not questioning you. Just did say that man is holy.
Yeah, I guess man is his own son that he can revolve around himself. So maybe he would have. So is it explanatory? I would say yes. So, you know, once they dismiss religion as untrue, Marxists are then able to overtake all of Western Christendom, which relied on Christianity as a foundation. So, you know, he was right way back at the beginning that if religion is done away with, then what he said is the profane existence of error, but is really just Western civilization. It's compromised. It's going to fall. But what if their initial step was wrong? What if their foundation was wrong? What if man does not make religion? They never seem to want to ask that question. Because opium can be good as long as it's used correctly and as long as it's good opium. God does give us comfort. He does give us the thing that could be the real opiate of the masses, the real thing that helps to relieve the suffering until God eventually relieves all suffering. Any thoughts about any of that? Yeah, Chuck.
Marked by the fact that Marx and communism, Marxism, keeps running into itself and says, man, they prophesy, they seem to indicate that man can solve all this if he just do it right in the right environment. But, man, on the other hand, develop religion, that was bad, so how they expect man to produce this perfect world and man reduce religion? That's one of my points. The other point is that sentence, that religion is only the illusory sun. Are they spelling sun, S-U-N, because they don't want to spell it S-O-N? That'd be the, you know, that's the exact criticism they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that first point, you are right that that's why they, you know, real communism has never been tried. Like, always the phrase
they
call.
Dichotomy is they keep saying, well, man can solve all this, but look what man did. They produce all the religions, so what makes them think that man can produce something else?
Well, because now they have the right answer. Now they've seen, you know, they've seen the mind of God, except they wouldn't say it that way, but they know which way history is going, and so since now we know which way history is going, now we can get there.
You know, when I was growing up in the 60s, it was common for communists to be referred to as godless communists.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think the masses in America don't view communism as a perspective whatsoever. Completely a government and economic system that's completely divorced from religion or theology. So, say, you know, godless communists is not a subset of them. It is part and parcel of what communism is.
Yeah.
If we read this, but I don't think people think that way.
I would agree that they don't think that way, but. Yeah, I think Marx is more right than Marxists of today. You know, he saw it. We saw it again and again and again. You know, Christianity or religion is the foundation of society, or foundation of Christendom, foundation of civilization. He referenced it again and again and again and again. And I don't think that a Marxist today would say the same thing. So I think they're even devolving from when the system was first created.
Yeah. I think another influence that he had was Hegel's philosophy, which it's very convoluted and difficult to understand, but it basically says that man is dynamically evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Better than he is. Also, Nietzsche is.
Any last comments before we're out of time? Okay. Father God, we thank you for this time that you've given to us. We do thank you for the comfort that you provide. Lord, we pray for all those people in our society today that don't have any comfort, that are turning inward on themselves as their own true son. Lord, we pray that you would use us to shine the real sun onto them. Lord, help us to get through to this culture. Help us to make you the bedrock once again of your people and your civilization. Lord, we pray that today we would be focused on you as our own true sun, so that we might be able to worship you and help our neighbors. Lord, help us to do this today and always. It's in Jesus' name we pray.